It's another KoshCast for all you football junkies out there. We missed last week's episode, but we're back now. Speaking of back, and if you believe the rumors, Ranieri got stabbed in his, as his assistant Shakespeare looks to write another act in the club's history. Leicester fans will be hoping he's in the mood for A Midsummer Night's Dream and not a Macbeth. Elsewhere, Zlatan wins his 409th trophy at 768 years of age, Klopp gets a beating, and Spurs spank Stoke. In Europe, we visit the local leagues as the Serie A and La Liga races heat up. We also review the crazy Champions League ties from the last 2 weeks. Let's cut in off the right and curl this one into the top corner.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the KoshCast. I'm Mohamed and I have Bernie here with me today. Hi Bernie.
Hi Mohamed.
How are you?
I'm great.
We are missing half the Kosh boys today. Riche has, I think, some sort of exams, and Alex had an appointment which he didn't kind of let us know exactly what it was.
Yeah.
It's just busy.
I think we should take the Steve Bruce approach to this. You know, he's skipping training. Maybe we should jump a fence to try and get him out of that appointment. Something like that.
Except Alex, I mean, different from Ben Arfa, he's very skinny.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
which kind of makes him hard to find if he's sideways.
You know? Yeah, that's true. Well, let's get right into it then, because, I mean, first of all, we apologize for no episode last Monday. A lot of things happened last minute. None of us were available, blah, blah, blah. We'll make it up to you, I promise.
Yep.
All right. Also, there's no quiz this week because there's only two of us. There's no point in me asking Bernie all the questions.
I mean, I'd win the quiz by default.
So. We hope so. Speaking of winning, United added another trophy to their trophy haul.
Yay!
Yeah, I think your cabinet is getting small now, eh?
It's now joint. Joint top in all of, like, I guess, English clubs on 44 trophies with Liverpool now.
Yeah, Liverpool took out that portion of their Twitter bio which said the club with the most domestic English trophies. They took it out the minute you guys won that trophy.
They're waiting for that one.
So, I mean, the game itself, though, I mean, first of all, let's talk about this from a big context. Mm-hmm. Jose Mourinho kind of United context. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the lowest trophy.
Yes.
Everybody agrees. And I think during the game I tweeted something like, the EFL Cup is really hinging on who scores next year when it was 2-2. You know, mm-hmm. United score, it's important, yeah, everybody's happy. Southampton scores, Mickey Mouse Club, no one cares. So, is it an important trophy? I mean, in United's current kind of position, I think it's quite a good, important kind of morale lifter.
I think that's the way to look at it, as a morale lifter. I think it also, if you look at it from the history of Man United, they've always taken this competition seriously. Because Ferguson was always, you know, he wanted to win everything. He would start playing kids in the beginning a little bit.
Right.
But then when he got serious, he always played his first team. I remember 2006 when Ronaldo, Van Nistelrooy didn't play and he left the club because he was pissed off. Like, they take it seriously. So from a United fan standpoint, there is the question of it was a tin pot competition has never really factored into United fans' thinking. Because we've always taken it seriously. Ferguson has 4 wins. Tied with Brian Clough, and now Mourinho has 4 as well. He's always taken it seriously, right, by the way, from his Chelsea days. So, from that context, I think it's a decent trophy to win.
I can see why they would take it seriously, regardless of how maybe small or big the trophy is, but Mourinho's one of those people that kind of likes to build a winning mentality within a squad. Mm. And winning, regardless of what you're winning, adds to that kind of hunger that they want more, and that they're used to winning. And yeah, the whole kind of celebrating a trophy feel. I mean, if you don't win something in a long time, you kind of lose touch of that feeling, right? Yeah. And now this gives them kind of something like, you know, how good was this feeling? Don't you want more? You know, go win the Europa, go get in the top four. Of course,
that's what the FA Cup last season provided them. And I think it helped transition that into the season, because now you get new players coming in and you feel like Pogba, Zlatan. It's like, okay, we do have a bunch of winners, so to say.
Yes.
And we're joining that. But at the same time, I do agree with you in that this is a morale booster. It does lead, hopefully, to bigger and better things.
Right.
But Mourinho is a ruthless winner, like you're saying, and that's only going to permeate throughout the squad.
Speaking more specifically about the game, so old man Ibra delivers again, opening the scoring slightly. I mean, against the run of play or not, it was definitely 50-50
at that point. There's nothing slight about it. It was against the run of Southampton. Okay.
They look good. They started off strong.
They looked really good. They were rampaging. Tadic was fantastic. I thought Redmond was fantastic. The fullbacks, Cedric on one side and then Bertrand on the other were just marauding. United had absolutely no answer for
them. They started stronger, but then kind of Zlatan killed that momentum with his free kick. Really good free kick. It's kind of his range, slightly further out than usual. I still felt Forster, looking at the replays, started moving way too late. The ball, when you see kind of where it hits the net, it hits it like 2 yards in from the post. It wasn't even that close. Like, I think a little bit of blame on Forster, but end of the day, it was a very important moment in the game. Zlatan kind of against the run of play, getting his goal. Southampton still got back into it again, but again, Lingard scoring in the second for United. It's always kind of killing Southampton's momentum.
Well, it was a brilliant passing move, I thought. And then when he got it, you thought, someone has to step up to Lingard, but they actually stepped away.
Two of them literally took 2 steps away, as if they all became keepers.
Yeah, and what that did was, it actually blinded Forster. So he can't see the ball, because he just literally just slotted the ball in. It moved in slow motion,
really slow, yeah,
and he couldn't get there. But
I mean, Lingard loves the goal at Wembley so far.
He's third in a row now.
He seems to score a lot in finals.
I think that's the only reason why he actually was on the pitch. Because yeah. He thought he would score at
Wembley. Yeah, I mean, instead of Rashford, that's quite a big move.
Yeah.
So going to half, well, right, this was a critical moment as well. Right before halftime, Southampton get their goal. And at this point, I mean, I think it was Gabbiadini. Good goal from him. He's been fantastic since they signed him.
Absolutely.
Crucial moment right before the halftime, he scored it. And then right after halftime, again, like 2 minutes in, he scored the equalizer again. That one was a brilliant goal. I thought it was a kind of striker's poacher's goal.
He didn't even give Smalling any time to think about what to do to stop him, the swivel. That was a fantastic goal.
Yeah, absolutely agreed, fantastic. Agreed.
I'm surprised, though.
What, that I didn't bring up the offside goal?
Yeah, I was like, is he glossing over that? Are we going to get away with talking about that today?
No, you're definitely not getting away with it. The reason some people are saying it was called offside is because Bertrand was offside, behind Gabbiadini. But the rules are interfering with play. So if Gabbiadini gets the ball before Bertrand does it matter?
So I actually read up the rule before I stepped into your house. Okay. Because I was trying to understand what is the actual rule. So, and you're right, it does mention becoming active, interfering with play and all that. But I think the reason there's a confusion in the rule, and by the way, I think the assistant ruled it wrong, and I think he knows he ruled it
wrong.
Right,
right.
But part of the problem with the offside rule is, the rule is once the ball leaves the foot of the person passing the ball.
Right.
So, and it's supposed to be about where is he passing it to. Bertrand was not passing it to Gabbiadini. He was passing it to Bertrand. But Bertrand is offside. Gabbiadini is not. So I think by the rules, it is not offside. But if the linesman is looking at him passing to Bertrand and he flags immediately, he's supposed to, then he did his job technically.
Right, right. No, I see what you mean. It's also one of those where, what is interference? I mean, was De Gea slightly worried about Bertrand at the back post? Therefore, maybe, you know, it's a lot of things. But end of the day, I think we both agree it should have stood. But regardless, this happens. I mean, the refereeing in the league this season has been an absolute disgrace. Why make it any difference this game, right? So 2-2. At this point, Southampton are just battering United.
Absolutely.
I mean, Romeo hits the post and so many good chances. It looks just like they're gonna definitely score a goal here. But Zlatan does what he did again in the first half, and I have to give him so much credit for this goal. Not the finish. The finish was kind of over Forster or whatever. Mm. But you could see him, if you watch the whole play, he starts kind of 2 defenders up and he weaves his way across the where he finds a pocket of space intentionally. So experienced.
There were 3 things that happened in this goal. The first was, I think Southampton had a chance that he cleared off the line.
Yeah.
And then he began a counterattack. But what I noticed about this goal, and props to Zlatan, but I thought this was the one point in this game where I really had, I mean, a couple, but defensively, Southampton were absolutely terrible. Because if you notice, they gave Zlatan all the space and time in the world, firstly, to run up the pitch, then to pick his pass, and then to ghost in. He just basically ran around Yoshida and stepped behind him for the header. And that's criminal. The marking was absolutely criminal that you knew the ball was going to Zlatan.
How
can you allow him to have that much space in the 87th minute of the game?
I agree. But that's what Zlatan does. He capitalizes on mistakes. He's very experienced. At 35 years old, I think he scored... It's his best scoring run ever in the last 3 years compared to his whole career. Like, he kind of... He's aging like wine.
26 goals in 38 games.
Yeah.
Or something like that. That is spectacular.
It's insane. So far, I mean, there was a lot of talk about the signing. I think it's proven definitely worth it. I mean, you could have paid $10 million for him and it would have been worth it.
I think we had this conversation with Alex on one of the pods, and I was shocked when we said signing of the season and he did not say Zlatan.
Right.
This guy came for free and he's putting up numbers that are basically better than Messi and Ronaldo.
I mean, think of where United would be without his goals this season. It would be crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways. Or
where they would have been if he didn't go 10 games without scoring.
He'd
be winning the league.
I mean, I remember during that period, it was doom and gloom. It was like, oh my God, no goals, we can't score. Yeah, no, definitely. But, you know, that's what you get when you buy class. It's inevitable, right?
Absolutely.
Moving on, let's move on to the Premier League. Chelsea, still top of the league, obviously. They're pretty much going to win it. Beating Swansea 3-1 at Stamford Bridge. Fabregas played this game, proving again that he's still very useful. Played really, really well. Scored the first opening goal. Obviously the stats are coming out that he has like more contributions than Ozil and like 1,000 less minutes and all that good stuff. But regardless, Pedro looked so good this game, scoring and assisting. I mean, Fabregas and Pedro assisted each other kind of for their goals. I mean, can Chelsea lose this now?
No, I don't think they can. And I think it's because you're getting into a point in the season where, for example, Liverpool and Arsenal play over the weekend. That's going to be points dropped for one of them.
Yeah.
And I think United play City very soon.
Arsenal still play Spurs. Yeah, you're right.
All those teams play each other, and sure, they play Chelsea, but because they're going to cannibalize each other's points, that's why Chelsea are going
to
win.
It's almost like an election where you go, okay, everybody lose to one team.
Yes.
So that they could catch Chelsea.
Exactly. Yeah. If they all pool their resources and say, all right, guys, who do we want to stop them, then fine. But on the Ozil Fabregas thing, firstly, everyone just check out this Thursday throwdown that we've done asking whether Ozil is actually worth it. Pretty good responses, some interesting comments directed at Mohamed for being absolutely biased and unreasonable. but on that, and I know we're going to talk about the game, but on that topic specifically, it's hilarious to me to see a generational gap because remember you put out a poll over who had a bigger influence at Arsenal when they were at Arsenal, Cesc or Ozil. And it was Ozil won. I think it was about like 2 percentage
but
points.
Still.
But he still won. And that, to me, shows A, stupidity in football fans now. Because I think they were all smarter back in the day.
Yes.
And B, hindsight is not a thing.
It's also age. People on Twitter are much younger than sometimes you think they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Whenever you read something or someone, you always assume they're your age. But, you know, they're 12, they're 13, they're 14. Cesc Fabregas to them is this hated figure that left the club, blah, 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 right?
Mm.
But there is no comparison to what Cesc has done and his ability at the time. He was the best player in the league. Like, that's how good he was.
He was unbelievable. I think he also suffers from the fact that he was dropped this season.
Yeah.
Looked a bit overweight.
People
so the perception
forget,
of him now is not that great. But just like you said, in this game, and going back to the game, he played very, very well.
He ran
the show pretty much, which, I mean, sure, it's Swansea, but this is a resurgent Swansea at that.
I still think Cesc has so much to offer. I think had Arsenal, let's say, got him back when they could 2 years ago, I think he definitely still has a lot to offer. He's so classy on the ball. He always makes the right decision. And again, you put a running guy behind him like Kante, he'll do it. Ozil would do it too with Kante. Like, it's all about the system at the end. But moving on. Costa also scored a goal from an Eden Hazard.
Feels like it's been a while.
So this is the thing. Here's a question for you that I saw on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea fans were saying, you could argue that Pedro's having a better season than Hazard. He's more influential. He's into the game a bit more. Hazard is kind of, I don't know. His stats need to get better this season. His influence needs to be a bit better. He's lucky that Costa's doing it. Kante's doing it. Pedro at times.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel he's lucky to get away with it because Chelsea are doing so well.
I think when you watch Chelsea over 90 minutes, I think what you see is, yes, there's a different role. Not as much as expected of Hazard in terms of he can share the load. But the thing is, when he gets the ball, this is something I watched. I criticized him in previous seasons for not doing enough. But I've noticed an influence with him. When he gets the ball and drives at defenders, people get into the right positions. You can tell that everyone perks up.
He creates chaos. Yeah.
There's something that I can't really put my finger on it, but something that when he gets the ball now, there's this arrogance about it, and the other players feed off that. And I think he's actually helping them become better on the pitch.
It's not stats, you're right, but I do agree with you. When he gets the ball now, it's almost like, oh, something's about to happen. Whether he maybe doesn't have the last assist touch or the last goal, but you're right, that does happen. Someone else, well, who we've criticized recently on the pod, as recent as, well, last episode, which was 2 weeks ago, was Harry Kane. I pretty much said that he needs to step up a bit more for me if he wants to be kind of looked at in that bracket of top players in the league, and if he wants to help Tottenham achieve things. Mm-hmm. Since then, we know Harry Kane listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
He scored two hat-tricks,
yes,
back-to-back.
Yes.
One in the FA Cup and one against Stoke on the weekend. Mm. The one against Stoke was brilliant. It was absolutely breathtaking. That his assist, forget the three goals.
Yes.
His assist for Dele Alli, that touch around I think it was Bruno Indy.
Martin Zindy?
Yeah, Zindy.
That was a fantastic touch.
Ooh. And then, anyways. So, Kane can produce these moments. I just feel he has to do it a bit more consistently.
I really don't want to be a Kane hater.
Okay.
I really don't. I try very hard. And like, it's not like Ozil where I don't try.
Yeah.
Like, I try very hard not to.
Right.
And his hat trick was fantastic, except for the last one, where was it? Where it deflected off someone.
Oh, yeah, it was a free kick.
But his impact on this game was fantastic. My problem with this is, firstly, and not to knock him, Stoke's defending on the one that came from the corner was a disgrace, absolute disgrace. He should never have been afforded that much space, similar to Zlatan and Southampton. But my problem with Harry Kane has not been him scoring hat-tricks and bagging, you know, against teams in the FA Cup or whatever.
Yeah.
My problem with him is when it really, really matters, except for against Arsenal.
Yeah.
When it really, really matters, the big stage, the Champions League, did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Euros for England did less than nothing.
Europa League.
Like, Europa League was, like, in fact, I don't remember them being there because they lost to Ghent. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I just feel when it really, really matters to take that step up.
Yeah.
Because right now he was talking about how he believes he's world class and he's up there. He said that today.
Yes.
His goals ratio is great.
Mm.
But there are many players whose goals to game ratio was up there or is up there.
Yeah.
Romelu Lukaku, for one.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're only going to produce in the league, I mean, Lukaku can only produce in the league because he's not afforded the European competition. Kane is, and in a much better team, in a much better, well-drilled team. So that's pretty much saying that Lukaku, who has a just as good a goal record ratio, with an Everton side that is up and down, I mean, is he a better player than you then? Like, he has to take these things into account, but
There's an Englishman bias that he does receive,
definitely.
But I think it's less bias. I think it's more they're willing him to become, you know, Wayne Rooney was our guy. He never, he kind of got there, did kind of didn't. We're hoping that he gets there, if not him, Dele Alli.
Agreed.
I get that, but he needs to do more.
I mean, the English thing is always going to happen. You saw Dele Alli's tackle against Ghent, and you did not sound, every pundit was like, oh, whatever. It was just, you know, he's passionate, but, you know, Xhaka got a red card. And it was like, send him back to Albania. Anyways, two things though about Spurs. First, Kane and Alli get all the headlines. But in a lot of games this season, including this game, Eriksen and Dembele, they run the show. Christian Eriksen has been... I remember on this podcast, beginning of the season, we asked Eriksen to step up. Kane and Alli were carrying them hardcore.
Yep.
Eriksen, even Pochettino came out and said, look, Eriksen is a fantastic player. He needs to step up. And kind of since then, for the last 6, 7, 8 games, Eriksen has been their best player.
He's been
phenomenal.
Everything has been running through him.
Yep.
He's been making the right decisions. I think he was making the wrong decisions at the beginning of the season in terms of passing the ball, like releasing it, shooting. He had the most shots without a goal in the league up until January or something like that. So I agree. He's been playing fantastically. But the real thing is Dembele. It's not just this season. He was great last season, too.
Oh, very.
He's carrying that form. I remember when I first saw him play, not first saw him play, but when he played at Fulham. And he was literally a driving force for that team.
Yes.
Came to Old Trafford, and I think they lost 3-2. But he was fantastic. And that's what you're seeing again. You can't get the ball off this guy.
That's a thing.
And he has skill. It's very, very impressive.
The thing is, when you describe him driving the team, it's both physically and kind of mentally and whatever it is. But that's exactly what he actually physically does. He takes the ball and he just drives through midfields.
Yep.
And you look at him and you're like, is he fast? Is he not? Like, you can't tell exactly what makes him able to do what he does. But he's like a powerful version of Wilshere. He's strong. Mm-hmm. And that way he can kind of push tackles off him and he gets where he wants to get. And his close control is really good.
He does. Sometimes when I watch Paul Pogba and how he holds someone off, turns him and runs with it, I feel the same thing.
Right.
Except Paul Pogba tries to like live up to his price tag or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Dembele does that particular thing almost better than anyone in the league right now.
Well, I mean, it feels like Spurs have a really strong case of finishing top four this season. And they should. I mean, they really should. Like,
I think they will, but Spurs are a very strange team in that 1 week you start talking about them as, you know, the only team that could contend with Chelsea. The next week, they're absolutely trash, and then they go out to Ghent. Like, I'm not sure what you get with them.
They're currently sitting in second, okay? Obviously, they have a game extra in hand because they played, but they have the best goal difference. I mean, after Chelsea, they have the best goal difference in the league. So clearly, they're doing something right. They just need to kind of find that consistency to finish the season. Because, I mean, we know they bottled it. They bottled it when they almost came fourth versus Arsenal when they just needed that easy win.
Yep.
They bottled it last season against Leicester. Uh-huh. So, you know.
Did they, is there a status check on the fitness of Vertonghen and Alderweireld?
Yeah,
they both went off in that game.
That is very worrying.
Those are two red flags if they're out for a couple of games.
Very worrying, you're right. Let's move on through these other games really quickly. I mean, the other top teams, the other top six. Oh, wait, no, there's one more. I was going to say the other top six didn't play. Liverpool-Leicester was today, which is why I almost forgot about it. So let's start where everyone thinks we'll start. and at the back, as we said in the intro.
Let's do it.
Ranieri got sacked. Me and you were talking before the podcast, and literally every middle sentence, we're like, save it for the pod. I think we agree on a few things.
Mm-hmm.
One is that it's not blasphemous that they sacked Ranieri. Like, it's not out of this world. It's not insanity. You can disagree, and you can agree, but it's not clear-cut as people are making it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you can argue both sides easily. Let's start with the, yes, he should have been sacked. Okay? Leicester won the league last season.
Okay.
They only sold one player. I mean, probably maybe the best player in the league, but they only sold one player.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in the relegation zone. With 11 games to go or whatever.
Yep.
So that's an easy argument. Mourinho got the same. Won the league with Chelsea. Relegation form. Got sacked.
Mm-hmm.
If Mourinho can get sacked, you better know Ranieri can get sacked.
Oh, he's been sacked more times.
So that's that argument. Now, you want to make the other argument?
Yeah. And the thing is, maybe I think it might be heart over head.
Okay.
But for me, it's the story of Leicester City is the single greatest story in sports.
Sure.
Period. I'm not talking about football. I'm talking about sports.
Yeah.
There are people that don't watch football who were talking to me about this Leicester team. Like, someone of our friends was like, what's going on with Leicester?
Yeah.
Like, it was that big a deal. And Claudio Ranieri was the architect of that.
I mean, North American countdown shows, sport countdown shows, and that kind of thing. They've got all the North American sports, hockey, football, all that kind of stuff. Leicester was always top of the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, I do understand why he was sacked. I do also think that there was a lot more that went on behind the scenes. Players going to the owners and things like that. There was probably a disagreement somewhere. I heard something about training and whatever. But there are two things that if I could change in football, I would do here.
Yes.
I would have sacked the players if possible. You can't do that.
Yeah.
But I would have sacked the players before the manager because those guys let him down. Their effort levels were terrible. They were completely undermining him, and everyone knows that. That's not a secret.
Yeah.
That was known. But I do feel maybe he had a little bit more cash in the bank of goodwill for doing literally an impossible job.
Right.
Absolutely impossible job. Because if Leicester go down, you don't care. I don't care. Leicester might care. I don't care if they go down. Yeah. You don't care if they go down. If they finish 15th, you don't care either. But they won the league, which is something that we all care about.
Right. Unfortunately, football now, Arsenal aside, is a results-driven business.
Yes.
If you want to call it that. And they're looking at it going, we're going to lose so much money by getting relegated. One, it's also embarrassing to get relegated the season after you won the league.
Yes.
People were thinking, you know, challenge for the top four, a Europa League spot, do really well in the Champions League. I mean, that's pretty much, we'll talk about the Champions League, but that's pretty much also.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still in it, but so
I just think it's not like Blackburn who won the league and bought it
right
in the 90s. They literally bought it. But this team did not have as much money as anybody in who they beat to the league.
Yeah.
They literally won by virtue of true grit and determination. On no lie, this should be your street named after this guy. Okay. They should be, people have gotten that stuff for less.
But I think they can still do it. If almost you could think about it as almost like saving face a little bit. So he doesn't get relegated with Leicester. He leaves kind of at this point. People still put him at the highest echelon of, you know, respect, and everyone wins.
The only problem is because he was undermined completely by his own yeah. players yeah. and apparently the coaching staff. There is a cloud, Dio, over this. Oh! Absolutely.
Hey, hey. Come on, did you prep that?
No, I did not.
All right.
I did not.
Okay, because I'm impressed.
I did not. Thank okay. you. Just, there is a cloud over it, and I hope that he can come back to the to stadium, you know, and they can be nice about it, and like, it he can get a standing ovation or whatever.
Is it a Ranieri cloud? Wow. I don't know, I tried. Anyways, speaking of, I mean, I think it's worth it just to get a guy called Shakespeare that takes over. I mean, it's almost just worth it.
Poetic justice, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Okay, sorry. I know we got to move on, but I just got a question. Because this question is hard to answer. There's no right answer. Mm-hmm. But Leicester last season to Leicester this season, mm-hmm. Chelsea last season to Chelsea this season. Mm-hmm. Kante, mm-hmm. the man, the myth, the legend.
Yes.
Can he be that influential? One man. Like, I don't think he's as influential on Chelsea's kind of improvement because they were going to improve regardless because they were very good and just bad. But Leicester to Leicester. Is that fathomable? One man in a team sport?
In my opinion, there are a couple of things there. If you look at the way Conte played for Leicester, energy like nothing you've seen before, right? If you sure. look at Leicester before this Liverpool game, yeah. they didn't even run. They didn't care. Like, when Conte is there running his ass off, like, who the hell are you not to put in a shift? But at Chelsea, He literally consumes everything and yes. lets Hazard have a great day.
Someone on Twitter was saying recently that Kante's biggest achievement is getting drink water 3 English caps.
Yes, I agree. I yeah. agree.
All right.
I do one yeah. thing on Kante, and I don't know if it's a controversial statement or not, but to
is
me...
Is it racist?
No.
Okay, so it's not controversial.
To me, when I think about center midfielders in the game right now,
yeah.
and in that... Is he box to box or?
But I'd say box. Sure, box.
Let's say
box.
Defensive mid for yeah. sake of it. I think he's the best in the world. Him, I actually think
there's a few.
He is the best in the world.
Nangolan, Verratti. I mean,
I think
they're
he's
more
better
like
than both of them.
They do different things. I think you can play together. You can play Kante and anybody.
Yes.
Yeah, but you can't play like Verratti and anybody. You
yeah,
can't play
because he'll yeah. do your job if you don't do it yeah. anyway. Like, yeah. I just feel
no. I agree.
He could go anywhere and be the best in that position.
Agreed.
In the world,
I think he's yeah. I mean, in two seasons, he's now become the best in a position.
Yep.
It's incredible. More about the game. Well, not more. Actually, starting about the game specifically. Vardy's back on track. 2 goals.
Yeah.
The misses will be happy. He'll be in a better mood.
Makes me sick.
So, that first goal, we saw it and you were like, well, that's basically Leicester 15-16. Clearly.
What happened?
That was just one pass. Vardy running onto it. Past Milner, slotting it in. Okay, the thing about Vardy, too, is... He hasn't scored a lot of goals. He yeah. went like 9 games without scoring. But it's not all down to him being bad. It's like he just didn't get the chances.
Yeah, he didn't.
He didn't like miss open goals. It's just...
No one wanted to give him the ball.
Yeah.
But then again, it is Liverpool's back four.
Yeah.
So, like, and a funny thing is, a lot of Liverpool fans were actually very scared about this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Leading into it. Because they've struggled against relegation fodder type teams.
Yeah.
Swansea they lost to at home. Bournemouth they lost to. They're not going to get relegated, but they're close.
Yeah.
You know, I think they struggled with Hull or something like that. And now this, like, come
you,
on.
You got to give credit to Leicester, though. They deserved all 3 of their goals because it's not often that Liverpool concede 3 and, like, none of them are Mignolet's fault. Like, none of them.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, surely one.
Yeah.
Surely.
I mean, the Drinkwater goal was unbelievable.
Oh.
What a hit.
You know, first of all, the throw in from Fuchs, which was like halfway down the field. Yeah. It was insane. And then Milner thought, well, I've done my job here. I've cleared the ball great. And mm-hmm. then Drinkwater just... Anyways, when it's your day, it's your day. The other goal, Mahrez and Fuchs also playing it down the left. Kind of Klein ending careers there by Mahrez. Mahrez ended Klein's career a little bit.
My thing with that goal is Vardy's not very tall.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's not known to score with his head.
Yes.
What kind of shambolic defensive team must you be to allow that scenario to occur?
Emre Can, bruh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Liverpool came back. Coutinho scoring 3-1. The goal basically encapsulating his career.
Please go on.
Useless. Inconsequential.
Can we ask a big picture question?
Sure. On Liverpool? I mean, we've only been on this for half an hour.
Because it's Liverpool, so I'm going to enjoy this moment.
Okay.
As someone was asking, so I was listening to Talk Sport, which was a terrible idea, before I came.
Sack everybody.
Exactly. It's literally sack everyone.
Yes.
But I was thinking about this, and they said, Liverpool have not progressed in 4 years.
No.
Like it or not, the points tally that Jurgen Klopp has gotten, I believe, is the same over the same span of games as Brendan Rodgers.
Brendan Rodgers is killing it.
Yes. Like, Liverpool may be playing this fast, expansive game when they go forward, but then again, were they not doing that with SAS?
They were.
So I think there's this foreign, even though he's Northern Irish, this foreign manager hoodoo thing. I love Klopp. I believe he's a great manager, but has he progressed the team? Have they done better than Brendan Rodgers? Absolutely not.
I agree. It's more of like a feel. Liverpool feel better. Are they better? No. Statistically? Mm-hmm. Results? No. Defensively? No. It's just a feel. Klopp is passionate. He's new. He brings this thing with him. Last half a season, he did it okay when he took over, whatever, at the end of last season. Mm-hmm. Is he doing any better? No. Does he have the same kind of money/pull as other managers to bring in top class players? Unfortunately for him, not his fault,
right?
But Liverpool just can't make,
but then
those
again,
signs.
He's not that guy anyway. He was at a Dortmund team that didn't do such things. He's here. I'm not sure he would pull the trigger on a 100 million signing, you know. No. And yes, it may work out, it may not work out in the case of Manchester United, but that's the ambition to be better than this,
sure.
And
sure.
Liverpool don't seem to have it. I just don't
understand. They're inconsistent, that's what they are.
They're in the most, we just talked about Tottenham not knowing what you're going to get week to week sometimes. At least we know they're better than Liverpool ever will be.
That's true.
Well,
that's
maybe
true.
Not ever will be. Like, not,
not ever, no. Other games really quickly, because we have harped on in the Premier League. We did cover all the important points, but Everton beat Sunderland 2-0. I guess that New York trip didn't help Moyes. He went on. So that didn't help. Lukaku again at the end there. Bullying defense. Like, literally, when you think bullying defenders, that's Lukaku.
It was, the guy pushed him, the guy punched him, the guy hacked him. Lukaku still did not fall. Yes. And by the way, Lukaku should have passed the ball.
Oh, he should have, but he's a striker.
He's like, nah. I mean, Lukaku wasn't feeling the Mohamed and Bernie FIFA
combination. Nah, he wasn't.
Over the weekend, Mohamed and I absolutely wrecked Alex and our friend Ali.
Yes.
FIFA.
Oh,
guys,
it was glorious.
Come at us. Both of us together, we will murk you.
Unstoppable. West Brom beat Bournemouth 2-1. West Brom just quietly racking points in the league. Yeah. Just very quietly doing their business. And they, you know, they're kind of that, they're eighth or something. So, I mean, Paul Merson this week, joked aside, said, if you take away the top seven, West Brom are top.
I'm done. I'm done.
Oh, man. I mean, my problem is the guy gets paid. I don't care about his opinion, but he gets paid.
And we're looking to get like a punditry job.
Exactly. Like, and if I have to say that, take away the top seven teams and I'm first, I mean, I could do that, man.
take away the top 18 and you know what, you're doing great.
Yeah, West Ham are top of the...
Oh my God.
Anyways, speaking of West Ham, they drew to Watford 1-1. No Carroll again, always injured. That doesn't help them, but they looked a bit better. Watford also looked quite good. Mazzarri's doing a good job there.
Yeah.
I think he's doing, punching above his weight for sure.
Mm.
Sitting in 12th for Watford. Palace beating Middlesbrough 1-0. Palace really needed this win.
Van Aanholt.
Like, big time. Van Aanholt, Big Sam signing, he was so smug about it too. Oh, he was just happy. And last but not least, Hull drew with Burnley 1-1. Literally doesn't matter.
Good result for Hull though, kind of, because they've been in good form since...
Yeah.
Oh my God, why is his name escaping me? It's not Paulo Sousa.
I know what you're trying to say.
Alex Silva?
Oh God. I can't remember. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Okay, we'll leave it.
But yeah, I mean, Burnley hopefully aren't slowly getting dragged into this relegation battle. I mean, they're still quite a distance. They're still like 9 points away. But anybody can get it.
Any team that Joey Barton's on can go to hell.
Yeah,
especially after his antics this weekend. Like,
oh yeah, that was embarrassing.
He's a disgrace.
Speaking of disgraces, maybe we should move on to Moo Moo of the Week.
Happy Moo Moo. One thing we are no sha, Moo Moo no fit sleep forever. One day Moo Moo go wake up.
So welcome back to another segment of Moo Moo of the Week. And for all our new listeners who don't know what Amumu is, it's a Nigerian pidgin English slang for idiot, fool, moron, someone who just does stupid things. And we like to focus on people who do these stupid things off the pitch of football because that's where the magic happens. So, Mohamed, take us off this week.
So, my first one is Crystal Palace fans, one or more, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was they were playing Middlesbrough. And
that's moving enough.
Yeah. Yeah. One of their fans caused £40,000 worth of damages to their own club coach, their own bus, thinking it was Middlesbrough, by spraying it in big letters, Crystal Palace, using paint canisters. So the bus is clearly colored in Crystal Palace colors.
Uh-huh.
It's so obvious, it could be your bus.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote Crystal Palace all down the side in paint.
That is... firstly, like, do your research.
Yes.
On a bus before you spray the bus.
Yeah.
Like, secondly, I read that Crystal Palace actually still use the bus to go to the stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
In a show of pride or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, the thing is, maybe he's just tired of Big Sam's parking the bus. He's sending a message.
Maybe he did it himself.
Maybe. Yeah. Could be.
Just to show them how ingenuity and parking the bus should really look like.
Yeah.
I think that may have been
what happened. I think this is one of our... It's one of our most random moomoos. I don't think we've ever had something similar like that. It's quite good.
There is something wrong with buses in London. Because West Ham fans completely destroyed the Manchester United bus last season.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure they like public transit.
No, you're right. You're right. You got one?
Yeah, so this is a double one. This is Karim Benzema. Let's say the country of Martinique, an iguana, and the media. These four are moomoos in this.
I can't wait.
So... Karim Benzema was, I guess, on vacation in Martinique. And he received a complaint from basically the whole country. Everyone in the country decided that we hate him. I'm kidding. But the environmental agency basically gave him a rap on the arm for taking a photo with an iguana. Like, in the photo, he's holding this poor thing. Basically, he's pulling its tail and pulling its neck. It looks kind of bad.
Question.
Yeah.
Was he filming it having sex?
Yeah, no.
No, okay,
so
he
couldn't blackmail the iguana.
Yeah.
And that brings me to why the media...
Okay.
So I'm going to call his name. His name is Alex Kebble, and he writes for Bleacher Report, which I kind of like, but it's kind of stupid at the same time.
Yeah.
So in this article about this Karim Benzema and this iguana's affair... The next line, so it actually says, Real Madrid striker Karim Benzema landed himself in trouble with Parc de Martinique, blah, 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 blah. The controversial Frenchman, who's banned on playing in the same team as Matthew Valbuena following a blackmail investigation, was lifted on Feb 18th, is in a spot of bother. Please tell me what the blackmail investigation and ban being lifted for Matthew Valbuena has anything to do with Benzema and an iguana.
I'll tell you what it is. The same guy wrote that article 4 months ago. He wanted to hyperlink it for more views. You don't understand. He just wants people to visit it. But it's funny.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, this is fake news. I'm sorry. This is just fake news.
This is fake news and I will not stand it.
Exactly.
Last but not least, something small happened, kind of on the field, but it was too funny. PSV keeper saves the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's in his goal. Okay. He's sitting inside his goal, but he's able to put his hand on the ball on the line.
Okay.
Brilliant save, keeping PSV's hopes up in the title race.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you can imagine the scene, the ball's on the line, he's inside, and he should drag himself forward into the field.
Oh, boy.
No. He goes, all right, I've made this fantastic save. I'm about to scoop this ball towards me as I sit inside the goal to then get up.
Wow.
Given a goal, and they don't get the 3 points.
Did they argue this?
No, it was a goal. He scooped it all the way into his belly.
So did he know what he did at the moment? Did he realize that he was an idiot?
Yeah, he realized right after. And, anyways, this was, I have to say, it was sent in by a good friend of ours online, Callum. So, Callum Gordon. Leeds fan, if you remember from all the crazy Leeds stories.
Thanks, Callum.
Yeah, I mean, we love getting moomoos throughout the week. It really puts...
Hit us up on Twitter and send us any of your own moomoos.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Happy moomoo. One thing we I know, sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
Off to mainland Europe, we're going to talk about Serie A and La Liga. A bit fast, because we do want to get into the Champions League, absolutely, which happened in the past 2 weeks, mm-hmm, which we also missed because we didn't pod last week, sorry. So, starting with Serie A, which has been very, very exciting this year. Juve with a regular 2-0 win against Empoli. Not unexpected. Mm-hmm. They keep their position on top of the table. So, you know, nothing crazy happening there. The big game, though, was Inter-Roma. Inter at home, losing 3-1 to Roma. Star of the show, Nayan Galan, obviously.
Two absolute belters.
I mean, he went from never scoring a goal to, like, scoring six in the last, like, seven.
My question is he still smoking? Is he no longer smoking?
He can do whatever he wants at this point. Just keep doing it.
He's probably smoking on the pitch.
Yes.
Takes a puff on the sideline every now and then.
He's been one of the best, if not the best, box-to-box midfielders in the world this year with Conte. He's been phenomenal. He's been one of the reasons why you want to watch Roma every time they play.
Yeah.
Man of the match again. Two unbelievable screamers. The second one, just casually strolling up, dribbling the whole field and putting it top left against Handanovic, who has like the biggest reach in the world. Very impressed by Roma. And I mean, obviously Salah, Dzeko.
He has a very good strike on him. I think he scored a belter in the Euros as well.
Agreed.
He does that. And, you know, they have a really good team. They're starting to click a little bit. They have that inconsistency.
A lot of good signings. I mean, Alex wrote an article. Check it out on the website. Actually, today, I think, about why five reasons why Roma are fun to watch. One of them was obviously Nayan Galan. The other was all the loan signings they've made that have really worked out for them. Szczęsny has been incredible for them in goal. Fazio in a three-man defense.
Who
would have thought? Fazio. You know, finding his form from whatever, Sevilla it was, or whatever. So there are a few reasons. One of them, which Alex also mentioned, is Perotti's penalties. It's one of the most fun penalty takers to watch in the world. He just strolls up and just, I don't know how, against Handanovic was rooted to the spot.
What kind of confidence must you have to pull that off? Because he does this all the time. And Alex is right. I actually look forward to a penalty from this guy.
Yeah, no, for sure. It was very impressive. What else happened? Napoli lost, which was just stupid, because they've been one of the most exciting teams to watch. We'll talk about them in Champions League too.
Mm-hmm.
No reason for why they should have lost this game to Atalanta at home, 2-0. So what that means is that, well, I mean, Atalanta are in fourth position, right behind Napoli. So it was quite an important game, a six-pointer, if you want to call it. So Juve are top by 66, Roma second at 59, and Napoli at 54. So
it is interesting, the Atalanta story. You know, they're not a dark horse, but they've really not been a traditional European contender in Serie A. So the fact that they're doing this right now, I think that's a storyline to watch come the end of the season.
For sure. But at this point, I mean, Roma are playing Napoli next week, the big derby.
Mm-hmm.
So if Roma win that one, they're pretty much bang on for second at this point, which would be a great finish for them, especially that Juve, you know, just, we know how strong Juve are. And that means we get to see Roma in the Champions League next year, which is very exciting.
Our host in Italy, in Rome, Sylvia, was she a Lazio fan?
I think she was a Roma fan. The taxi driver was a Lazio fan.
Ah, okay. Yeah. And he liked her.
He liked her. Yeah. He dropped us off, and then when she turned around, he went, but yeah, I mean, I doubt anything would let a Roma or a Lazio fan switch.
No, so, no. Nothing.
Moving on to La Liga. Well, Milan also won, so there's that.
I think Suso again.
Suso was on fire.
Yeah.
He's playing really well, yeah. So they're sitting in seventh. Highly doubt they're going to... I mean, they won't make Champions League
this year. Sorry. Milan may have a good future. I mean, Bacca rejected a move to China. So there's something... I think there might be something bubbling that they all believe in. Maybe.
They did move
Niang
to Watford, though, which was a weird move. Seeing that he's playing quite well for them.
It's a loan. If he plays well, they'll bring him back. Hopefully he has good experience.
Sure. In La Liga, this was, again, a very exciting weekend. Big games. Villarreal, Madrid. First of all, Sevilla started off the weekend by winning, beating Real Betis 1-2. Sampaoli, they're doing a fantastic
job. They briefly went top, right?
They did. So they went top after that win.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next, chronologically, was Atleti-Barca, which, again, Barca should not have gotten anything out of this game. Ter Stegen, man of the match for like the second or third game running, obviously barring PSG.
Mm-hmm.
But Barcelona nicking this one 2-1. At 1-1, it looked you know, done and dusted. Messi with the 86th minute goal, again saving Barcelona in a tough away ground. Really undeserved, but they'll take it at this point. Then Madrid played later and went 2-0 down to Villarreal in like the 70th minute.
I just want to go back to the Barca game for a really quick second. Now, I know Alex hates this conversation, but Ronaldo won the Ballon d'Or. Yes. I think Messi won the one before. Ronaldo won two or something like that.
Yeah.
I think in the context of it, in terms of excitement, Lionel Messi this season has been the most exciting I've seen him personally in
a long time.
three, four years. Like, he's won the Ballon d'Or, but okay, fine, whatever.
The trouble and stuff, but I know what you mean.
This, if they pull this off, if they're able to reel Real Madrid back in and win this, I think this is one of his greatest seasons ever. I don't care about the 93-goal season or whatever. This could be a single greatest because MSN that we've been touting and talking about as one of the greatest front threes ever, Neymar and Suarez have been trash.
Yeah.
I don't mean trash. I mean, they have been garbage. Like, you wouldn't even sign them garbage. Yeah. And he's bailing them out time after time after time.
He's bailing them out. He's bailing Luis Enrique out countless times. You know, he's done it all season. And when you kind of go into Barca Twitter and you see what people are saying, and it's just like Luis Enrique is a bit in the Arsene Wenger kind of boat right now. People have 50-50. Some want him out, some want him to stay. Again, because of the treble that season and all that. But Messi has been saving them in games. I mean, when you look at Messi's away performances at Villarreal, at Sevilla, at Atleti, at Celta Vigo, he's carried them in big, big games. So,
if there is one knock on him, though, and like I said, best playing the best I've seen him in a long time, but there is something very arrogant that I'm noticing about him. And for example, PSG, he lost the ball, he just watched it, and he didn't even try to get it back. Whereas the best version of Lionel Messi, perhaps, used to chase and track back. And I get it, he doesn't have to, he is who he is. But I saw it again in this game at Atleti, where he did the same thing. And I'm thinking, when your team is not playing all that well, and there's a bit of crisis talk, you need, if Lionel Messi's not going to do that, Suarez, Neymar, no one else is going to.
Let me agree and disagree at the same time. Let me just say, your sentence was, tracking back, that is the best version of Messi. I would change the word best to younger.
Sure.
That's really what it comes. I feel he really conserves his energy for that moment.
Sure.
Because he is starting to look, he doesn't have that Ronaldo athleticism. He doesn't.
No, and he never has to be smarter in what he does, I guess.
You know, Ronaldo's at 32, 33, or 32. You think Messi at 32 would still be putting up these numbers? I don't know. I'm doubtful slightly.
I think he'd have more assists than goals. So but he'd be influencing the game in a very different way.
Anyways, let's move on to
Madrid 3-2.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Villarreal were 2-0.
Sorry, it's just
70th minute. And then somehow, I mean, one of them was a very dodgy penalty. I mean, the ball hit the guy. It hit his teammate like that was 2 yards away, hit his arm, and it was given. There wasn't even a Madrid player within like 4 yards. But it was given. They scored two more goals. Brilliant Bale goal. Also, a really nice cross from Marcelo. And, you know,
there are quite a few conspiracy theories that are coming out of this game about the referee. One, I heard that he's a president of a fan club for Real Madrid. And the other one was that he walked out of the stadium with a Real Madrid goodie bag. I'm just thinking to myself, if a goodie bag is enough for you to throw a game, then you really need to up your standards. I'm not sure.
I don't know, man. A goodie bag from Perez might have a lot of stuff in there. Might have
some cash in
Don't get fooled by the size. But it could have a check.
The thing that's crazy about this is Real Madrid, 3-2, they were a shambles in this game, and then they turned it on to win the game. But this is the worst version of Barcelona.
Yes. Right?
And this is supposed to be, supposed to have been a 34, I think 34 wins in a row, or 34 games unbeaten, something like that from Real Madrid. And there's still only 1 point up with a game. Like, should you not be destroying this team?
Don't you have a shame? Honestly. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100%. Like, Barca have looked absolute trash. They got beat by PSG 4-0. Like, they're nothing close to their best. And they are still clawing at this.
They could still win this league.
They will also win, what's their name? Barca will definitely win the cup.
Yeah.
That's one trophy in the bag.
Yeah. So they could win the league, and then, but still sack Luis Enrique for underperforming, which means Perez has to sack Zinedine Zidane for underperforming, even if he wins the Champions League.
Agreed.
So watch this space. Two sackings are coming up.
Oh, definitely, man. All right, let's move on to Champions League. So, Bernie, we've got 10 minutes to do Champions League.
All right.
So we missed it last week, but man, it was definitely exciting. Let's start at the bottom of the list and just work our way up. The first games were, I mean, insane. Paris Saint-Germain, Barcelona. Let's just start hot. Did you see this coming?
No.
But you can logic it, but you couldn't see it coming.
I couldn't logic 4-0. Alex, I think he said this was the best chance for Paris Saint-Germain to beat Barcelona. And he was absolutely right. Barcelona are worse than they actually look. Like they're unbelievably terrible. And they were exposed countless times by Angel Di Maria.
Yeah. I mean, back to Barcelona, their defense has been so shaky recently. Their midfield is non-existent. Mm-hmm. I mean, Luis Enrique plays so many combinations that he doesn't know what his best one is. He plays Sandro and Gomes and Iniesta and Rakitic and Busquets and everybody. And they just don't have that cohesive feel that Barcelona always have in midfield. And it was you could see it in this game. Rabiot and Verratti ran the show. Mm-hmm. It was scary to see. I mean, Verratti is a phenomenal player.
He really is fantastic. He nullified Messi in this game. I mean, one of the goals literally took the ball off Messi, ran with it. And then from that counterattack, they scored. They completely dominated midfield, which is something you would never say against Barcelona with the likes of Busquets in there.
Yeah, so what they did was they dominated the midfield and then they quickly gave it out to the wings. The Di Marias and Draxlers ran riot as well down the wing. Draxler scoring, Di Maria scoring, two, Cavani with a nice goal at the end as well.
Yep.
This tie pretty much out of Barcelona's hands?
They're done.
They're done. I mean, PSG will definitely score one goal, which means Barca needs six.
If Barcelona are able to turn this around, it will literally be Lionel Messi scores five. Because we know the rest of them are not going to do anything. And if that were to happen, then for the first time ever on the podcast, I'll actually tell you that Lionel Messi is the greatest player to ever play the game of football.
Oh, okay. Okay.
In fact, any sport. Okay. Any sport, period.
All right.
Build a statue.
In your house.
Yes. Just do it.
He just has to imagine it's Arsenal. You know, it's not that hard.
I mean, some people have to live with that in real life, Bayern Munich.
True. So, the other game from that day was... where am I? One second. There we go. Benfica beat Borussia Dortmund 1-0.
Bit of a surprise, though.
A bit, to be honest. But Borussia did completely dominate this game.
Yes.
It was very unlucky.
Aubameyang missed the penalty.
Yeah.
The goalkeeper had an inspired day.
Yeah.
But so did Mitroglou.
Sure. I can't believe I'm still watching Mitroglou score Champions League goals.
Seriously.
Next, on the following day, we had Bayern Arsenal.
How are you feeling?
I'm fine.
Mohamed was not feeling fine at that time.
Listen.
At that time, I thought you were this close to ending it all. I was going to come to your house, knock on the door, and be like, you know, do we have to call a hotline?
I did need help. But it helps that I didn't have high expectations. It was just, look. It was a shame to see the same thing over and over. I mean, Bayern scored one. Arsenal came back into it at 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looked great. Just hang in.
Just to give it a little bit of it. A little bit.
But Bayern scored their second. Fine. You can have your 2-1. And then we do what Arsenal do, which is we collapse. We capitulate. We have no tactics, no game management. That at 2-1, we started attacking Bayern like they were, Stoke. Like, Stoke came to the Emirates and went 2-1 up, and we just were not having it. And Bayern, you know, gave us the spanking we absolutely deserved.
It wasn't a surprise. That was a scandalous part about all of it.
We gave Müller a goal. Müller, who hadn't scored in a gazillion years. He has one goal this season. His worst season of his life.
And the second is against you.
Thiago Alcantara. Oh my days, he dominated the game. Absolute majestic play. Barca letting him go for 20 million was insanity. I don't know where to stop. Robin. The whole world but Coquelin knows what Robin likes to do. He cuts it off the right, curls it into the top corner.
Yep.
How can he not know that?
Although, Robin says, I don't have only one move. Shut the hell up! You only have one move in your whole career. Don't be ashamed of it. Be proud that you can do this one thing time and time again and score.
Robin has embraced that you only had one job meme. And he does it over and over. Moving on, Madrid-Napoli was also a great game.
Yep.
Napoli looked up for it. They looked good. And as Madrid has shown a lot this season, they don't necessarily play well, but they do get the results. Napoli opening the scoring with Insigne, who's been on fire. And, you know, rumors Arsenal are watching him.
You better be.
I mean, we need more small guys.
Yeah.
More small technical guys. Great goal catching Bravov. Not Bravo.
Navas.
Navas. Where was he?
I don't know.
I mean, somewhere doing some talk to the ball boy, because he was not in his goal.
Maybe he was bored.
Maybe.
Maybe he thought it was Neuer. Super keeper, yeah. I don't know. But like you said, Real Madrid find a way and figure it out. Just like they've been doing all season. And if 3-1, I don't think Napoli.
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I never asked you, actually, if you think Bayern are through. I think we should give Arsenal the respect to even consider it. What do you think, Bernie?
I think they lose 3-0 at Emirates.
Okay. I can agree with that.
Hell no.
You got in this game, though, in this Madrid-Napoli game, you got something that you love. I mean, if anyone wants to ever buy Bernie a present, this is the present to buy. And it's that Toni Kroos daisy cutter carpet finish. I mean, you put Bernie in front of a TV with that replay and he will sit there for 3 hours.
Listen, mate.
Yeah.
Conte might be the best holding midfielder.
Tell him.
Kroos is the best deep line playmaker in world football right
tell
now.
Tell him. Just tell him.
My God, I love Toni Kroos so much.
Oh, man. He does. He does. What else? We got another, a few other really. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Best game I've seen in the longest of time.
Mm-hmm.
City 5, Monaco 3.
Yes.
This was a game.
Great advertisement for the Champions League, right?
Yes. Even though there was 8 goals in it, it could have been 0-0, and it would still have been the greatest game of the week.
Mm-hmm.
End to end. No team wants to defend. Midfield just allowing things to happen. Just going at each other. Just insanity.
Yep.
Monaco went 3-2 up.
Yep.
And the City came back at like 20 minutes to go, scoring 3 in a row. Something ridiculous.
It was a fantastic game of football to watch. I thought Monaco, yes, they're the top scoring team in all of Europe.
Yes.
If you count domestic league goal, I think it was 78 already or something along those lines. And when you look at it, you think, nah, man, this is now Man City, this is Champions League, Pep Guardiola, you know, whatever.
Right.
They had no respect. No, they came in there and spat on the Etihad, and they almost came out.
Almost.
If Falcao scores that penalty,
yeah,
they win this tie.
True. I mean, at this point, City really did kind of pull a rabbit out of the hat, because they did not deserve this 5-3 for sure.
Maybe 3-3.
Maybe 3-3, sure. But right now, it's in City's hands. They score one goal away, and it's pretty much over.
But we have to be aware of the fact that Falcao is now back.
Yeah, he is back.
Because the goal that he scored, the lob, oh my goodness.
I think, what's his name, just retired, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
crazy.
Here's the thing. City is in their hands.
Yeah.
But City can't defend.
Sure.
So we know they're going to be goals. Monaco will score a goal or two.
Fine. Go and get a 3-3.
Yeah, so City have to score, which they probably will. So it's going to be fun. That's all I know.
I'm watching the second leg.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's ditch work together.
Atletico Madrid beat Bayern Leverkusen 4-2. Away, so that's pretty much done.
That's done.
Not much to talk about there. Bayern did try their best, but Atletico score 4 is a bit weird.
It is weird.
It is weird.
To score 2 against them and Leverkusen.
That's also weird. Good point, to be fair. Juve beat Porto 2-0 away. That's done.
Yeah.
Over.
Two subs scored in 2 minutes.
Yes. So, I mean, there is a few tactical masterclasses here. Allegri did bring on both subs that scored.
Mm-hmm.
He also banished Benucci for talking back to him during midweek. Big, big kind of sign. Like, he's showing the other players that no position is for granted. So, yeah. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Last but not least, Sevilla-Leicester. So, Leicester did well to hang on and stay in the game.
When they could have lost 8-1.
Yes. Arsenal in this position would have conceded 4.
Yes.
Leicester hang in there. They gave Sevilla the respect they deserve. Sevilla should have come out with way more than the 2.
Yes.
And not conceded that one.
But so, there's now a problem.
What is the problem?
Leicester just beat Liverpool 3-1.
Yes.
Like, before this victory, you go, you know what? They hung in there, but when they... I think it's in Leicester, the second leg.
Yes.
So, whatever. Now you start to think, Was this a blip, or was that a fluke win, or is it possible they can nick a 1-0 and go through? It's scary. It's scary because now you can think about the possibility.
Dilly ding, dilly dong, mate. It's all on. You never know. You can't. With Shakespeare at the helm, anything could happen. Plot twist at Leicester.
You couldn't write this story.
No. I mean, if they pull off another you couldn't write the story by somehow getting to, like, I don't know, the Champions League semifinals, I can't. I'm sorry.
Like, no, I just, like, yeah. This club needs to just burn at this point.
That's it.
We don't need this in our lives
anymore. No, I don't. You can handle. I cannot handle.
Oh, because you would be very wrong.
Yes. But that pretty much it. I mean, this one is the hardest one to predict. Do you think Leicester have a chance? Maybe get a 1-0.
Sevilla will score. Because Sevilla will score, this tie is over. And Sevilla, even if Leicester scores, Sevilla scores, it's over.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up. We're right on the hour mark, which feels good. Good point to end.
Yep.
Hopefully next week. I mean, you're not here.
No.
But the lads will be bringing you. I mean, I think Champions League is it midweek? Let me see. March 7th. No, it's not midweek.
No, okay.
I don't know.
And there's no Europa
here.
League either. I don't know.
Yeah. Europa, I mean, you want to talk about that really quickly? United, who did they draw?
Pogba's brother.
Pogba's. No, they beat
Rostov, which is terrible.
Rostov, okay. Yeah. I mean, your biggest competition now is Roma, maybe Lyon. Memphis comes back. Hans at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Okay. No, well, we'll see you on Thursday.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll see you again next week.
Take it easy.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.